Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore. Hello, hello, hello. This is What Is Love Show with Sasha Sugar. Woohoo! How are you guys doing today? I know it's a pretty rainy weather here in Brooklyn, and you're supposed to be at your apartment listening to radio from Brooklyn because there's really nothing much to do outside. Trust me, I had to walk all the way to Morgan Stop from my apartment, and it's not pretty outside. Anyways, today's What Is Love show is going to be real, real wild. And I'd love to introduce my guest. She's a wild, wild woman. I will actually want to give her a chance to introduce herself because I didn't create the name Wild Woman. She was the one to pick it. So today's topic is wild love, integrative approach to releasing your nature. And we'll talk a lot about feminine empowerment, energy work, and what is it to be a true woman, what is it to be true to yourself. Anything self-love related, anything female empowerment related, we'll talk a lot about it today. And it's a live show, so if you guys have any questions or if you'd like to share your own experience with us, please give us a call at 718-928-9732. Yes, I got it right. So it's 718-928-9732. This is What Is Love on Radio Free Brooklyn. Let's kick in. Woo! Hello, hello, hello!
Hi, I'm Kiana Love. I'm the founder of Be Wild Woman. And I'm really delighted to be here on the show. I'm an energy healer, wild woman dancer, creative artist. Be Wild Woman started as a wanting to have a place for myself, for women to be able to feel safe, to be wild. You know, so it started out first as a group, as something where we'd get together and dance, but also have some, you know, things that helped us to, you know, to feel safe and different things in there. And then later on, I had a healing practice at the same time. And then eventually, Wild Woman, as she is wont to do, and I'm referring to the instinctive, intuitive nature, to that part of you, that instinctive feminine part that you see in Kali, also Mother Earth, any of the feminine nature goddesses.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of information already in that one paragraph. So a bunch of girls got together to dance wild, and then you somehow try to connect that to inner goddess and the higher power and your mother nature. Whoa, my mind is blown right now. So let's take a step back and talk a bit about what was the motive for you to create that group of dancing ladies. Like, what could you tell us a bit of your personal story and how your personal life kind of led you to becoming this wild woman as your profession, as your service to others?
Mm-hmm. Well, it really did start out of my personal desire, out of, you know, realizing that I did not have that here at home, that I could, you know, I had discovered places where I could go and experience that. I did a lot of searching for how to feel comfortable in my own body. And I didn't even know that's what I was looking for at first. I just knew at first I was depressed I did not feel comfortable with the feminine, and there was just, you know, and I also motivated because I was a single parent at the time, and I just didn't want to repeat the same things with my son. I wanted him also to be able to have, you know, a safe place, and, you know, me being depressed and freaking out is not really what I could do for him. You know, so I found...
So why were you depressed in the first place?
I mean, something, there was so much stuff growing up. You know, I grew up, I lost my brother. He drowned when I was 3 and he was only a year and a half. So, you know, so I had lots of...
Do you actually remember that? Do you have a...
I remembered it later. I didn't remember it at first. That stuff that came up when I was in college, and something happened to my roommate's brother. And then I connected it, but I'd had nightmares and all kinds of things happening before that. Plus, you know, just a lot of generational stuff. My father was born 2 days after the Russians took Berlin, and his father had been a prisoner of war in Russia. And he was, away at war without, you know, it wasn't his choice to be a soldier. It's like, you know, what you had to do. And, you know, so my grandmother, when she was pregnant, there was all the bombs being dropped on Berlin. And,
wow.
You know, so there's a lot of trauma in my family.
So we met briefly. You guys, we met literally 15 minutes before the show, and we briefly spoke about collective trauma and collective memory. You know, just casual chat over the cup of coffee. And so now I kind of get where you're hitting, that you actually, your family has experienced a very specific traumatic experience that you believe. And I only say believe because not everybody believes in this. Mm-hmm. I do personally. You believe that we're kind of transmitted towards mm-hmm. you, and you think that you might pass that onto your
son. There's a lot of research about that, and there's a lot of studies, and they're called intergenerational trauma, where they're seeing. And I did not put this together at the beginning. I didn't. I just knew stuff had happened to me. But when you have complex trauma, when there's lots of things going, a lot of times you're just detangling, you're just surviving, you're just making it through. And later on, when things kind of clear up, then you can put more of the things together. And they've noticed that a lot of people that have their parents and grandparents have gone through war, there's things that are going on for the grandchildren. Also in recovery, we notice these things. So recovery might skip a generation, and then a generation later, there's also addictions and other things going on. So usually, a lot of times, these things layer together. You know.
I totally believe in that. I mean, I've done ayahuasca, and I kind of see. You know, my father was an alcoholic, and wow, it feels so awesome to be able to talk about it on the radio and in public, and not to be ashamed of it. But anyways, it took me 30 years to get to this point. So I did see in one of the ceremonies that we had on my father's side, we had. Like that alcoholism, it was kind of like a tragedy that affected
even his ancestors. So I totally believe in that. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating to hear that like you have a very concrete examples in your family that have affected your emotional state being.
And I'm really grateful for them now because they were so pronounced. I looked at them and I had a place to look at them. We were talking about in the cafe how sometimes it can be challenging, you know, it can be even more challenging when you don't have anywhere to look, but you know, just something doesn't feel right, or you don't feel fulfilled, or, you know, you're not able to feel safe and you can't even point to somewhere. So in some ways, you know, there's gifts to each experience. And I'm grateful that there was enough going on that I was very actively questioning it. And I've been an avid seeker my whole life of that, trying to figure things out. And now I get to hold that space for women. And I also know that there is a joy to be had in living. And I, you know, it's something that's exciting to be on the other side of things. And, you know, not that my life is perfect, things still come up, but be able to say, this is worth it. It's your joyous life is here.
Okay. So your depression kind of led you to start rethinking, reevaluating your life, your purpose on earth. And then did you kind of start talk to other women and sense that they all have some sort of traumatic experience, or you just kind of wanted to manifest releasing of your trauma into the universe and connect them that way to others? Like, just kind of lead me through the process of you deciding to make this your profession and your life.
Well, it's so complex. You know, some of it I wasn't thinking at the beginning where it was going. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just so hungry and there was so much longing and there's so much pain that was going on. And I found these festivals, these drumming festivals, and I would go there and get to dance free. I found it through one of my teachers, Anadea Judith, with the chakras. And she was teaching at one of these festivals. And it was one of the first places where I felt that free, where people around me did not want something from me, need something from me. I had a real space to just get to be myself. And dancing at the fire for that, like, there's all these things I got to ground and open, and I got to share this sense of joy with others. And, you know, I was like, how do I find this back there? And I really wanted that for other women too. I wanted it for myself, but I also wanted the shared experience, and I wanted women to have that space.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. So your traumatic, your family traumas, your depression, your sensation that you're not free in your own body kind of led you to this path of spiritual healing that you're on right now. Did you find there positive feedback from the women right away, or it was a kind of rocky road for you to find that niche that something that you can contribute and you can help others with?
Well, being wild, there's parts of it that are just really like, yes, and other parts that are rocky, because you're learning how to listen to what is really true within you and what you're being called to. So parts of it were easy. Like starting it around parties was easy. People want to go out. People want to have fun. But the challenging part was realizing they're here, but there's all of this safety that isn't here. There's all of this trauma stuff going on that is not being addressed. And so I look at it as wild woman is, I look at her as my boss, because I started having a personal relationship with her, with the feminine archetype, as the same way we might have a relationship with a goddess, you know, or divine, you know. Like I look at it as, it's a face of the energy. It's a face of what we're relating to. Mm-hmm. And so I felt more and more guided to do this work that was unpopular. The work of, hey, let's be here with what you're feeling. The stuff, this Me Too movement is so revolutionary, because when I was doing this work to begin with, nobody wanted to talk about Me Too. Nobody wanted to look at
any of
that.
When did you start exactly? Because it sounds to me that everybody's talking about
Me
Too right now. Yeah, it's almost like a new reality. So when exactly did you start?
You know, in the early 2000, early, you know, 97, 98, 2000. You know, they wanted to come to the parties. They didn't want to do the deeper stuff. You know, the women that did, it was very fruitful for them. But it's like, it's not, you know, parts of it still aren't cool. It is, you know, it's like everybody wants an instant solution. People don't want to pause and be there with what's really there. That's more.
But it also takes, you know, the belief. You know, you have to kind of believe and you have to trust that there is something out there. There, you know, there is the, the goddess, there is the higher power, there is the energy. And not everybody believes in that. So it's kind of hard to drop your ego and just, okay, let me try to trust the, the Kali's archetype and let her walk me through the darkness. I mean, yeah. So do you have any... I guess, do you have any advice to our audience or to women out there, or even to men out there, to how they can trust the universe in guiding them to through healing, healing processes, or just to kind of get to know yourself better?
Well, what I first want to address is what you talked about, getting people to believe. I've learned to drop a lot of that because, you know, our mind can really get stuck on what we believe. And I don't feel it's vital that people believe things the way I do. You know, I share Wild Woman in a way that women, people can relate to it. Sometimes they may literally believe it, but they might just see it as an archetype, or they might see it as a pathway to just reconnect with nature. And that's, you know, when I look at it, it's like, you know, what I want to support people is reconnecting with that, being able to trust their bodies, to be able to relate back to nature, because it doesn't really matter what color. This is a way that we can get to know that feminine energy, and it becomes more tangible, it becomes more real, it becomes a live relationship. But I want, you know, to, you know, the thing is, if you just pause and listen, you know, these are the things that, you know, just taking a moment, doesn't have to be like, I have to pause and listen all day long, but pausing to let what you're experiencing and needing in your body to be valuable, that is important.
Yeah, let's talk a bit more detail in here, because I think it's important that not everybody understands what exactly they're supposed to listen to. And by not everybody, I mean myself. So, because I've been doing a lot of that emotional work recently, and when you say pause and let the and feel the experience, right? What like, can you walk us through exactly what you do in that moment? Like, do you feel, okay, let me feel my, how my heart feels, how my, let me feel how my uterus feels, let me feel, like, how exactly do you experience the, whatever is happening with you at the moment? Because I feel like there is always mind that is analyzing what happened. So how do you shut it off or not shut it off, and how you actually feel the body?
So the first thing is not shutting off the mind. You don't want to fight with the mind. The mind is here. So if you start fighting with the mind, you're just going to be fighting with the mind, and that's it. You know, so we've been taught, one is, you know, some of the education we need is recognizing that we've, as a culture, been taught not to value the body, you know, and to recognize the pain that you're in as a result, you know, where you're stuck with these ruminating thoughts, where you can't sleep, or you're over anxious, where you can't really feel the joy of being here. Instead, you're stuck with the despair, the depression, the anger, these things that keep you from having a meaningful, joyful relationship with people. So part of it is noticing, hey, this is not working here, and I'd really like to be more in my body, but I don't know how to do that. You know, that can be the first place right there. And recognizing that, you know, they're considering that there may be a safety in being in your body that allows you to actually express yourself, that can allow you to have that experience of to be able to trust and be yourself. But it is, you know, recognizing that we are at a deficit. So you're not, there's not something wrong with you. You didn't screw up because you can't listen to your body. You can't listen because you haven't been taught to, and you've been taught it's not a good idea to do it. You also don't listen because there's so much overwhelm and stuff there. So it's first acknowledging, hey, my mind is doing the best it can. It's doing the very best it knows how to do to take care of me. So that can be a really good place to pause and go, okay, I can just start from right here.
Yeah, just going to drop the emotional baggage from many years ago and just start where you are.
Or, you know, recognize you have it, but start from a place of, okay, I'm going to start some, I don't know how to do the self-care, but I'd like that, so I can start here.
How does that, the self-care, how does it relate to self-love in your opinion?
I believe they're completely, they're not separable, you know, because love is, you know, true love is not that fairy, I'm romantically connected to you. And that's like, true love is this ability to really be here with yourself and other people and really appreciate them with, you know, not in a way that you need them to see you in order to be appreciated. It's more of an internal experience you get to share as a freedom in true love. There's a freedom of, wow, I'm alive and this is amazing here. And you see, can see that everywhere. I think it's a natural state that we want to recover.
We don't have that. We're not in that state at all.
Yeah, I want to support women and people in waking up to the natural state of living, to knowing that when you go in the forest and you see that peacefulness there, you're meant to be a part of that. You know, we are natural beings. We're not divorced from nature.
Okay. No, I totally agree with you. So, let's get into how you do that. How do you help women and men as well? Mm-hmm. You've briefly spoken that you sometimes heal men. Could you tell us a bit more of exactly how you practice your wisdom, your knowledge, and your based on your experience?
So I'm going to start with the simplest thing that I share with people. I also want to share that, you know, just encourage people to get whatever support they need, because if you didn't know how to play golf, you wouldn't expect yourself to be at home and figure golf out. You would actually go and find somebody and learn. And it's not a weakness to go out and find people that know what they're doing. And you want to, this, I want to give them some guidelines on what they're looking for. And then we'll go into some of that. I want to give them guidelines on checking in to see whether that person feels safe for them. You know, I want to have somebody that they feel comfortable with, that has, that they see that this person has that ability to be in their body, or that groundedness that they're looking for. And then also to kind of check out references, read up on things. These are, and then someone's going to be very compassionate and gentle with them. You want to be met where you are. You know, it's not about pushing and making.
Sorry, you're speaking right now about finding the right healer?
Healer, healing resources, things like that.
Okay.
And to start listening to, like, you know, doing, starting some trusting of yourself. And so just a simple, simple tool that I give everyone is just the holding of your heart. There can be, if you'd like, I can walk us through a little experience of that. Would you like that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So first thing is to find a comfortable place to be, preferably seated, or seated is good because
just
you can.
One moment. Hello, dear Radio for Brooklyn audience. You are about to get a real-time, short, mediative experience to open up your heart here with What Is Love Show. Okay, let's do it now.
Because
I don't want to. Audience is just gonna freak out. Oh my gosh, what's happening here? By the way, I always forget, but your heart is on the left side. Yeah, sometimes I forget that. Yeah.
And in this case, we're working with the energy space of the heart. So your hand is gonna be in the center of your heart, but your fingers, and if you're using your right hand, will be touching your physical heart. So you can both be in the energetic heart center and at the physical heart both. And the nice thing is this here is recorded. So later on, whatever you don't have time to do now, you can come back and check it later. Mm-hmm. So feel your feet on the ground and just take a moment just to feel your hand here at your heart, to feel the ground beneath you. And to consider that the ground is here holding you. This is where you can tune in with Wild Woman as Mother Earth, as the Wild Great Mother. And consider that she is here holding you just as you are. Notice her and her perfect ability to hold you at all times. And it may be that you allow your body to have its weight. Maybe that you begin to notice that there is a good weight of your body here. And it may be that you allow it to anchor you here. Just the way if you had a boat, you could put an anchor down and know that it's secure and held. And at the same time, feel the freedom that there is for your limbs to move, for your body to breathe, for you to be here just as you are. And allow your awareness to be here at your heart, at the very center of your being. Notice the beating of your heart. Feel the vibration. This is your original song. This is the song that was there when you're in your mother's womb. It's the first organ that develops, and it's the song that is here for your whole life. Notice the rhythm of your breath and just let it be as it is, noticing whether it's shallow or deep, whether it's fast or slow, and allowing your breath to make its way into its own rhythm, just like the waves that you see and hear at the ocean that make their way in and out. Notice that without thinking about it, your breath does the same, makes its way in and out. And it may be that you allow yourself to just be curious about this rhythm, about what you're experiencing here in your body. Noticing your breath and allowing your breath to be drawn to the spaces in you that need attention. Anywhere there's tension, just allowing your breath to do what it does. Breathing in comfort. And on the exhale, allowing your body to release any tension it's ready to. And allowing your body to take in as little or as much as it would like to. So we're just setting the stage here for you to consider, to allow yourself to be here. Imagining that you're being gently held by the earth. Allowing your breath to be the comfort that you take in. And it may be that these ideas right now are just thoughts, or it may be that you experience them and flow with them. Wherever you're at, that is fine. Allowing yourself to be there.
Wow. That was pretty phenomenal. I kind of just want to, you know, continue and just breathing and noticing my body and just feeling the warmth of the mother nature. It was really, really cool. Yeah. Thanks for doing that. So you guys kind of, with your girlfriends, you start with crazy wild dancing and then you got into the meditation and trying to connect with your inner power, inner energy.
Well, I did a lot of the deep work first, and then it was the freedom so I could dance much more freely, mm-hmm. You know, and then it was like wanting to share that. You know, the power of being in your body, you know, is the difference is it's easier to share it with other people, because when you have ground, other people feel that and it allows them to be more in their ground.
So let's talk a bit about acceptance of your own body, because mm-hmm. I think it's a big topic these yeah. days, especially for women. Mm-hmm. It is important for me personally. I don't think I'm not always comfortable in my own body. How is it translated into the outer world when you're not comfortable with your own body?
When you're not comfortable, well, you're not one, it's hard to even feel it. And then a lot of times it's connected to whatever beliefs and messages. And so that probably a lot of times puts people into more overdrive, into more stress, because then if there's this feeling here, there's this belief about it, then the body reacts and either it gets tighter or it just kind of keeps feeding on itself. And then you don't, a lot of times what people do is just kind of escape the body. So they're up in the mind, uh-huh. This kind of gets numb or painful, and they're not able to enjoy. Pointing at the body, but they're not able to, you know, feel what's in here. But that means also you're not able to trust yourself. Your own intuition is impaired. You end up relying on whatever facts are there without what your body is, the wise information that your body has. Your health gets compromised because you're not able to listen to when your body does need care, and you miss out on the excitement and joy of being here. Then things never are enough. You have like a little high with one thing, and then that's...
So how do you help women to feel comfortable in their own bodies? I understand it starts with the meditation, kind of connecting with your body, feeling your body. But then what do you do from that point?
Well, also in the meditation we're doing is also energy work we're doing there. Mm-hmm. So it's like connecting when somebody comes into my healing space, it's like first I'm having them fill out things about like what is going on. So we take a look at where they're at in their body, where things are, and then it's supporting them on how do you actually navigate that inner world, the world of the body. How do you do that and feel safe? So we start looking at what are their programming about it? What have they learned to believe about safety? And we start addressing some of the things that have been coming up there too.
So you kind of talk, you just have a conversation with them. It's not
part of it's talking, part of it's the energy work and creating the safe space.
When you say energy work, can you elaborate a bit on what exactly is Reiki or the chakra work?
Well, those are all parts of them. I do a lot of different kinds of energy work. What you experienced just now with the meditation, you experienced energy work. Mm-hmm. So there was a feeling in the body that you have. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that warmth. That is the energy work. Energy work is just basically a term that explains the energy that moves through us. But I'm, you know, it's learning how to do that. So I teach women how to do their own energy work, how to open up parts of the body. So we look at where things are stuck. I might give them exercises to do, you know, ways to exercises to come back into relationship with the earth, you know, to feel safe with it. We also start looking at some of the beliefs that they've been carrying around about things. But we go really slowly.
Can you share with us an example of some common beliefs that women have about their own bodies that you think harm their own life?
Well, the basic thing, you know, I always think of is like, you know, I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. You know, something wrong with me is the biggest thing that comes up. And then that comes up anywhere, you know, and, you know, if I had this, then I would, you know, so a lot of it's going back to a lot of the core beliefs.
Do you think it's connected to the idea of original sin?
That also is, you know, that also has an effect. If we think we're inherently bad, you know, then a lot of the times it's the response of, I need to really work hard so people are going to like me. You know, so we take the one belief and then we put another one to it. And then the body has an experience of it. And these things get stored in the cellular memory. Mm-hmm. And so those things, you know, that's the operating system we have. It's like we've been infected with some viruses that we did, you know, or programs that we didn't choose. It's like a computer comes installed and we've already have these programming that we didn't choose, but we also experience them in the womb. Like if your mother didn't feel safe most of our mothers did not.
Yeah.
So the womb contracts. So we get the message in some way that there's not room for us, you know. So we already have that anxious feeling there. So we're already programmed at that stage to not have the experience of care. So it's, you know, it does take a while to shift that programming so that we can go instead, hey, you know, I can trust this here. We know a lot of it's having the earth as mother is a big shift, you know, then rather than trying to change your parents or your parents that did the very best they knew how to do. Instead, you can have a relationship.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
This ongoing, you know, parents, children, and the tragedy.
Yeah. And they were children too that didn't have somebody there. But it starts, I find that shifting the relationship with nature is a much healthier, easier way to do things. Because then you can start with, I can actually trust the ground. Mother Earth is here. We, you know, you have a healthy relationship where you have support that is not reliant on how your mother is doing, how your boyfriend is doing, how people at work. It's more of an inner
nature. So you kind of create that inner source of love that lifts you higher and just helps mm-hmm. you to feel safe in this world.
In this world and in this body.
Okay.
You know, in this body, there's just as much natural treasures as any natural national park. We have them.
Ooh,
here.
I like the analogy.
Yeah. It's an amazing, wondrous place. So it's reconnecting people back with that wonder and our little ones that actually hold the keys to so much of our healing.
I'm going to make a bad joke, but I just came up with, a funny tagline for a Tinder profile. Like, hey, honey, do you want to explore my natural park?
Yeah, it is. It's a natural plot.
Come on, it's a radio for Brooklyn. What is love
it's
show?
It's awesome. It is.
We can talk
is.
About those things as well. Okay.
We're amazing, and we just don't know that, you know. And so, you know, a lot of it's just it's individual. Each woman, each person, you know, the way we experience life is different. So that's the challenge with this work, is to support someone to feel safe, but really let them have the experience, you know, to really support them in, you know, navigating. You know, it's not like I'm going to do all of it for, because it's not yours then, you know, but to give people tools and a safe space where they can start to explore and have their own relationship with the wild and you know, that freedom. So
I have a question about the whole wild thing, right? I mean, I totally get the connection between wilderness and nature, but why do you think that women aren't necessarily suppressed and they need to release the wild nature? Or like, what is woman to you? What is, do you
think? That's such a, those are two different really big things. I'm going to start with wild.
Yes, please do. And the reason why I ask this is because I feel in my case, and I always, as you've noticed, like to make things personal, I am actually pretty wild as mm-hmm. I am. But in my case, I think it's not me being connected to myself, but it's kind of like a defensive mechanism. Mm-hmm. It's my reaction, it's my response to the outer world. Mm-hmm. And I feel that my actually inner goddess, just like romantic and beautiful and feminine mm-hmm. and quiet, I'm not letting her out. I'm mm-hmm. actually letting my wild nature out just because I feel I'm more protected in that case.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to get your view on how do you think this wilderness is presented or manifested in different women?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as you're saying, is really on target, because a lot of times we have taken wild and maligned it. We talk about wild on E. Well, that's not the wild that's in balance is connected. Because all of nature, if you look out in the forest, it's wild. It's wild from the littlest flower to the wildcat. Instead, we've been taught that it's not something good for us. And instead, it's like, you know, there is a balance to it. There is a, you know, a part of the things that I share with Wild Woman is the concept of the maiden mother and great mother. You know, so Mother Earth is that nurturing. We also need the safety to be wild and not out of control. And I can relate to your story, because that's what it was for. I worked in nightclubs. I did all these things that were wild, but inside I didn't feel good. I didn't feel comfortable in my skin. I felt anxious, you know, and I would go out there and I was on stage and I was throwing nightclub parties and, you know, but it wasn't connected. You know, it was taking the younger, innocent part and kind of shoving that aside, because I didn't, you know, it's like we've been taught that the little one, you know, if only that little one, that vulnerable part would shut up, you know, then I'd be fine and I'd be free. So it's kind of like you stick parts of yourself in the closet because you judge them. Yeah. But this is a whole different relationship where we're learning instead how to be at home and to have a relationship with mother. And from that place, to also have a healthy relationship with our younger parts, you know, to be a mothered mother, you know, so that, and then you can have, then our little ones can play, then you can have wildness that, you know, you can go do things that are crazy, but you're checking in, you're not doing them to sacrifice your body, you're listening in, you're tending to all of yourself. That is wildness, and that's healthy and related and connected.
I bet a few people at the Raise Your Free Brooklyn on just consider that as a multi personality disorder. I totally get what you say.
Yeah, all of us have that innocent little one in there. I mean, you can look at somebody that's 100 years old; they still have that part of them that's really innocent and free. And the tragedy is if somebody goes their whole life and doesn't know that that part of themselves. I mean, how are you going to follow your dreams if that part of you, you've squished and put it away, that dreamer in you, that part of you that's, you know, that is the part when I'm doing deep work with women. Mm-hmm. A lot of times those innocent parts are the ones that guide us out. They have amazing imagination. It's like better than any of the storybooks you read. They're amazing creative stories of healing within us that just arise.
Do you have an example from probably the people that you've worked with, or from your own story, how reconnecting with that inner child and that inner wild child has helped manifesting concrete results in in adult life?
There's one person I worked with that, this is a kind of an archetype across a few women that, you know, they come in and they're like, you know, I end up regressing. I end up, you know, not being able to speak up for myself. I kind of feel like I'm in this little girl place and I can't, you know, can't speak up. But then doing the reclaiming of it, you know, they found a lot of, most of them would move forward in their jobs. They'd be able to speak up for themselves. They were able to do more of the things that they didn't even know they wanted to do, follow interests, classes. So there was much more of a freedom in the body and a confidence that they gained from it. One of the beliefs is one time I worked with someone and there was this part that was just like almost like the Death Star dark belief that, you know, when we looked at it, that's what it looked like. And instead of, I do a process too, where instead of let's just destroy that, it's like, let's listen here. You have this safety here. Let's check in there. And when we did the process, the next time we looked, instead that thing had shifted completely because we checked and we know we do this work of negotiating and talking in there. And instead it was this wondrous resource for, it was like the shining light there to support her. You know, and these things are just kind of are hard even to convey on a call, but it's just like you're in your own live action fantasy movie, you know, and you can, you know, that part of you that you think is, that's just a daydream creative part, you know, that push that away. Mm-hmm. It's actually a strength that can help you really regain your power and trust yourself and move forward. So it's, those are some of the perks of my job,
firing,
yeah. You know, that I'm like, ooh, I have no, it's like, I'm like a wilderness guide. I don't know what, I don't know if there's going to be a lion. I don't know if there's going to be, you know, beautiful blue sky. I don't know, but I know to navigate the forest and I can guide somebody in how to navigate it and as well.
That's great. That's yeah. So powerful. How many women do you usually, how is the work process look with you? Do you meet with someone for just one session and you kind of give them some answers and some resources to then work mm-hmm. on their own, or you meet with someone on a constant basis?
It varies. Sometimes they might just come to, I've started a weekly Rise Up Healing Salon in my office, so that, you know, just for where we're trying to do this activist work, but a lot of times we're not in our body to do it. A lot of women talk about they're feeling foggy, confused, overwhelmed, and they want to speak up for women. They want to speak up for rights, and they're just kind of running themselves ragged. So I have like a 45-minute, you know, women can just drop in, you can donate, you could just hang out, and I do a little 5-minute, do a sound bath. So it's, you know, so there's ranges from the simple things that can help a woman just start to connect back in and feel more of here, you know, oh, here's this peace, here's this clarity. You know, it's like teaching the body just by the experience to start connecting. And then I have a monthly Wild Woman Tribe where women can come and have like a, it's kind of like
crazy a dance party.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested in that.
It's a happy hour / live art, live music, you know, kind of conversations and moving in your body. And then we make the music together. And then I do a sound bath. So it's this beautiful, empowering experience of feeling women support you and you having the freedom to express yourself. And so that's a monthly. And then I have, you know, sometimes someone will come for an individual thing and go, I just want to check this out. So I have an individual sessions, readings, also doing clearing of their homes because, you know, awakening and connecting them there as well.
There's, so you physically go to a woman's place and you do what?
And
burn some sage.
It's not just that simple. It's energetic. It's like going into the wilderness of their home, connecting with them and rooting, clearing, awakening their home, listening to the space, listening to nature, and giving them ways to shift the space, but also how they can daily work with their space. But these are all pieces of my bigger program. And then I have a 6-month program where it gives women enough time to be able to explore this. And then that's a very hands-on, lots of support journey. And I don't take a lot of women on for that because it's like I'm taking on that holding that space of mother, but mapping it for them so they can have it for themselves. So that means I'm very available to them. It means that them
it's
learning to
really exhausting.
It's wonderful. You know, it's just, I just know I can't take on a lot of people with that, but the people I do, it's very rewarding and they start to gain that real confidence in themselves. I have someone now that was in a job for 15 years and just tired of that and feeling like just really stuck and trapped. And she's celebrating right now, just shifting into what she wants to do and the real vision of where she wants to go.
Can you tell me which industry has she moved to which, from which to which? Because that's kind of what I'm considering right now.
Yeah, I can't, you know.
She's in the sex industry right now. I'm just kidding.
No, not in the sex industry, but she's, you know, shifting from, you know, into more of an environment where she has more freedom to express herself, more freedom for her to be able to take on projects, you know, to let them, you know, move through. And then she's much more clear on what she really wants to share with the world and is starting with that. So that's really exciting to share with women. You know, let's feel safe move through that. So then they'd come for a while, like an hour and a half sessions. And
that's what I kind of love about what you do, is the fact that you bring in a lot of women together, because I feel that women friendships among women are not very frequent. Like the whole female dynamics is it's often all about men. And so when women just connect with women based on their own nature, it's such a powerful and beautiful thing. And I feel like we don't have it much in the world, at least in the Western world. Yeah. I do that myself a lot. Like I just organized a book club. It's only girls. We talk about Jesus and other things. And I do kind of like swap events when I invite a bunch of women to, you know, exchange their clothes or just donate stuff. So I feel that the whole idea of female support is really important, and we as women need to find ways to incorporate that in our daily life.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of swaps. Swaps are wonderful.
Come. Wait, hold on. What is it? It's actually in 2 weeks.
All right,
it's in 2 weeks. It's from 4 to 8 awesome. In my place. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me. So yeah, guys, well, actually girls only, ladies only, on February 11th from 4 to 8 p.m. at my place, we're going to have an awesome, fun time with ladies. Please bring your things that you don't like, that you don't need, clothes, books, shoes, jewelry, whatever, bags. And you can swap them for the stuff that you find more interesting in my place, or whatever you don't need. I will be then donating to the female shelter in Bushwick. Beautiful. So please, February 11 from 4 to 8. I should give my address on the online.
Is there a link they can go to?
Whatever, fuck it. It's 1175 Green Avenue. 1175 Green Avenue. Apartment 3 in Bushwick. Y'all invited? No, guys. Only ladies.
I have two upcoming events that I'd like to share about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One is I'm going to be a guest at Ayurveda's World. It's an Ayurveda school. It's one of the tools I work with.
Yeah, you can talk a bit about that. I love Ayurveda.
Yeah, it's very much that nature, you know, just being connected with nature. But it's, I want to share the event. And then, so I'm going to be a guest at their full moon meditation, and it's a super blue moon right now. So I'm going to be sharing a chakra meditation sound bath. And then afterwards, there'll be a self-realization meditation from Naina Marbali, the founder of the school, and also an Ayurvedic meal.
When is that?
This Wednesday. Yeah, so you can go to ayurvedasworld.com and go ahead and sign up there for that. And it's free.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I have my book club on Wednesday. Otherwise, it would totally come.
And next Thursday, I'd love you to come to the Wild Woman Tribe. So the theme is Go Deep and Rise Up. So we're also shifting locations to Gemini and Scorpio's Loft. So it's this lovely little private loft that has, like, you know, like a disco ball and velvet, you know, and couches.
What is the dress code for that?
The dress code is Be Wild and Comfortable.
I love that. I'll be there.
Home in your body. That's the dress code. And we'll be making music, eating food. We also have a special guest, an artist, Heather Horton from Canada. And she does these wonderful paintings of women diving in water and these out in nature and introspective. And we've been doing some little live streams on Facebook, and she's coming from Canada to come and talk with us. She's going to do a slideshow while we're dancing, so we can have these, you know, these images to dance with and just kind of reflect on being in our body. And,
do you guys consume any, you know, substances?
No, the substance of life.
Oh, how
yes,
beautiful.
It's about awakening to the high.
I'm high on life,
the awakening,
man,
to the high of living. You know, so there's live art, live music. There's also someone that's going to do art while we're dancing.
I'm so down for that.
And a sound bath.
Oh my God, I love sound bath. Yeah, I'm so down for that. I'll be there. It's Thursday after. But we'll talk about the show after the show. We actually have just a few minutes left. So let's probably...
I'd like to know, like, how did you, know, like, what, you know, your relation has been with Wild and with being in your body.
Oh God, I was hoping you will not, ask me that question. It's a little bit difficult for me, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I, in fact, consider to do breast reduction soon. Mm-hmm. Oh God, I can't believe I'm talking about it on a live show. Jesus Christ, what are you doing to me? But yeah, so I don't think... And there are a few things how I came to this idea of getting my breast reduced. It's my ayahuasca ceremonies. I kind of felt that I saw myself the way she's supposed to look naturally. Mm-hmm. Like, I just really saw the image of Sasha, who she is from the nature, and big breasts was not part of that picture. On top of, it's also, I just really do not need big boobs. Like, seriously, I don't need big boobs. Maybe guys need them, but I do not need them. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm very, I like to be active. And so I feel it's just something that I don't need, and I feel uncomfortable because of it. So I feel that I want to, it's not something that I have naturally, although it's kind of not making sense. My boobs are natural, but in my family, nobody has big breasts. So it's really, I don't even know how I got those boobies. So yeah, I feel like I'm going through some not very comfortable moments right now about my body.
What would be helpful? What would, while I'm here, is there anything that you'd, I imagine that you're not the only person listening that has some discomfort with being in their body. But what would be helpful for you? And just take a moment and just do a little, if you'd like.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I'm just a bit embarrassed right now, but, I don't know. I mean, should we do a breast massage?
So, you know, we're going to go back to the thing that we were doing and just kind of, you know, for every, so that everyone can relate in with this, and ask you to bring both your hands to your heart.
Okay, and guys, notice as women, this is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we are doing a hands-on, feel good about your own body, a small meditation. I think we have about 4 minutes left.
Okay, we can do it short and simple.
Let's do it.
And so we're tuning back into what we did. So just holding your heart. And then as women, we notice that kind of intersects with breasts there. And our breasts are very much carrying that love energy. And so let's just take a moment here to feel, again, Mother Earth holding us and holding you, your body, your breasts. And feel yourself as your heart, your chest, your breasts being held here. Is taking a moment here to allow love in and allow yourself to be supported here just as you are. Breathing in love, breathing out love. Notice as your chest how it feels to be held and met by your hands. Notice as your chest how it feels to be held by the earth. And just take a moment to listen. Just in, on the inside, just to say to yourself, just to feel yourself as your chest. Saying, I am my chest and I feel. You can just say it to yourself and just notice whatever comes up. Just to honor the feeling that's here. And take a breath into that, just honoring, just allowing this feeling to be here. To be tended to. just like you tend to a beautiful rose garden. And then one more breath here, speaking as your chest. I am my chest, and I need. And just fill in the blank, just noticing whatever comes. And take the next three breaths to breathe in whatever you need here as your chest. And allowing yourself as your chest to release anything you're ready to down through your body, down through your legs, down through your feet, just as naturally as the rain falls. And at the same time, allowing any resistance that's here to be here, just as it is. One more breath. Exhale, let sound, let your breath out. Maybe a little sigh. Bring your hands to your thighs and just kind of tap your feet and just kind of ground. Let there be a little, I love you. And there you go.
Oh, I love you. And I love you and you and you and you and the whole radio for a Brooklyn audience.
Yes.
And I feel like I need to go now and massage my boobies. Yeah. That's what I've heard. They say, Sasha, we want massage. Massage us, touch us. Oh, God. It's getting really uncomfortable here. Well, this is What Is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. No filter, no censorship. We talk about love, self-love, inner goddesses, female empowerment, and anything love related. I think we have seriously 2 minutes. It was funny to me, not funny, it's funny is not the right word. It was interesting to see that you have never mentioned, you know, sexual empowerment and sexual mm-hmm. energy, because I feel that most healers that I've come across, when they speak of female empowerment, they talk about sexual energy and sexual empowerment and tantra. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that, any comments? And just be cognizant of time.
Sure,
you have
yeah.
about a minute. No pressure.
I believe that, you know, our sexuality is at the core of our bodies. I think of sexuality as not just our organs, it's our aliveness in life. So I feel like they're one and the same. When I'm talking about being at home in your body, we're creating the safety for you to have your sexuality, to have your ground, to have your feelings, to have better healthy boundaries, and to be able to have more pleasure. So I find that these are the core. Safety comes first, and when we feel safe, then we can blossom with our sexuality. So I don't see them as disconnected from them. So
think that it's not the sexual energy is not at the core. It kind of comes with.
There is a sexual energy at the core, but first we have the rootedness and the safety, you know.
Okay.
So I am speaking for our empowerment, for sexuality. My specialty is helping women survivors of incest, of sexual trauma, intergenerational trauma.
Oh my God,
trauma.
We've not talked about that. That's
my specialty, but I talk about in terms of first you have to feel safe in our body. You know, so those are the people that I most help to feel at home in their bodies and to love life. And I'm also a survivor. So that's, you know.
You are a survivor of?
All of that, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I'm at a place where I feel really at home in my body and grateful for everything I've experienced. And really glad that I can hold that space for others and celebrate them too.
Well, thank you for everything that you do for other women. And your story is very touching, and it didn't happen for nothing. It probably did happen so that you can now serve others and help others. Thank you so much for that. Guys, this was What Is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Please stay with us. And if you want to get in touch with